If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Levi's, Plow & Hearth, Adidas, Sephora, and Neiman Marcus. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. And it's easy to use. And you get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten. Rakuten.com.
Welcome to Golazzo. I'm James Horncastle. Now, despite Juventus wrapping up their seventh straight league title, one of the stories of the season in Serie A this year has been Napoli and the team that Maurizio Sarri has put together. Now, Sarri, as you know, has been linked with jobs all over the place, not least Chelsea and Arsenal, so we thought we'd speak to someone who knows all about his coaching style and what he's like one-to-one. Nathaniel Chalobah spent a year on loan at Napoli from Chelsea back in 2015. He's now at Watford, of course, and made his comeback after missing most of this season with a bad knee injury at the weekend. So he swung by to the Totally Studios to talk about all things Neapolitan and Sarri, starting with how he came to sign for the Partenope.
It was quite last minute, and they were looking for a midfielder because one of their players had got injured. So I didn't think twice about it. At first, I was a bit intimidated because I was going to go live in Italy, but I didn't really think about it twice. I just said, you know what, it's a great opportunity, and Napoli's a massive club in Italy. So I said, yeah, why not?
I mean, looking back now, I think I remember going out to Italy that year, the one before you actually went, and there was Michael Richards was on loan at Fiorentina. Yeah. Ashley Cole, I think, was at Roma at that time, and Ravel Morrison moved to Lazio. Did any of that weigh on your mind when you were making a decision to go there? Did you speak to any of those guys?
Not at all, really. I mean, I'd been at Watford before on loan, and there were quite a few Italians there, and so I knew a little bit how they worked, and especially being managed by Gianfranco Zola as well. I had an idea.
Napoli legend.
Yeah, of course. So I had an idea, and for me, it wasn't so much about, you know, what the environment was going to be like, whether I've got people there that speak English or anything like that. I was just excited to be doing something new. Like I said, I'd been to the Championship a few times and I didn't feel like I was improving, and I just needed to learn something different. So I was really open to the move.
I mean, it seems to be the mentality of your generation, really, among England players when you look at you taking that decision. But now you see guys like Ademola Lookman going to RB Leipzig, Reece Oxford going to Borussia Mönchengladbach, Jadon Sancho going to Borussia Dortmund. This isn't something we, I would say, associate with young English players. So, you know, you were a bit of a trailblazer, I suppose, in that respect.
If you say so. I mean, it's one of those things where you can play in a reserve league and the under-23s league over here. And I think there's great leagues out there. And I mean, the Belgian league is been well known for bringing players through, the Dutch league as well, obviously going off to Germany, so the likes of Sancho and Lookman is something different. But besides that, it's an opportunity for you to learn, an opportunity for you to see another part of football that's not in England, that isn't the Championship, that isn't the under-23s. For me personally, I would have given the advice to anyone who asked me what is it like to go away and to go and learn and play football. And for me, it was probably the biggest turning point of my career at the time.
Yeah. So you went right at the end of the transfer window, right?
Yeah, I think it was last minute.
Yeah. I think it was made official like early hours, September 1st, 2015. So you kind of missed pre-season with Napoli, which I suppose doesn't make the transition all that easy, particularly when you're going from not only one club to another, but one country to another, completely different football culture. You know, what were your kind of first impressions when you touched down in Naples?
I mean, I got there and it was sweltering hot. The yeah. heat was unbelievable and almost unbearable. Mm. And I went there with jeans and a jacket and everything else. And within 5 minutes, my jacket was off. And I thought, oh, wow, it's pretty hot over here. But we had to wait quite a long time to get the contracts and everything sorted out because it was last minute. And in terms of the paperwork, we were hanging around a little bit, but I went over to the training ground and the facilities weren't state of the art.
Yeah.
But to be honest, I've experienced everything really. I mean, I've been to championship teams and obviously coming from Chelsea, you're almost spoiled a little bit with where you are in terms of facilities, changing rooms and the way you're treated. And for me, I was just open to anything really. And it didn't really faze me. The training ground wasn't the greatest of places to be, but at the end of the day, you're there to play football. And if the weather's nice, you're not really going to complain. So first impressions were, okay, it's interesting because...
Edgier.
I'm in a different country and this is what I've seen so far. So I really want to know what the players' attitude's like towards it.
Mm.
Because, you know, I've been to a few championship teams and some of the players complain about their facilities and where they are and how this is and how that is. And when I went to Napoli, the standards are below some of the championship clubs that I've been to.
Mm.
So
the training ground's had a bit of a refurb, I think, since you were last there. The reception now is pretty nice. But well, apart from that, it's still what it is.
Yeah, that was what I was really trying to convince myself, as this can't be as bad as I think it looks at the minute.
Yeah.
But after I got there and I met all the players and they were all so humble and everyone was just so relaxed. The culture was just so different.
Did anyone in particular take you under their wing?
Well, I got there first and it was like my first day at school once again. Like, you know, every year when you go into school, if you move to a new school, you have to try and introduce yourself to everyone. So I walk around, shake everyone's hand. Yeah. And I don't think some of them knew who I was in the first place. So that obviously made it a little bit easier for me.
Mm.
It means I can, you know, show what I can do on a football pitch.
Yeah.
They can then judge me off that. Mm. But first impressions were they were a nice group of lads and they just said, welcome, and if you need anything, let me know. The culture is different out in Italy. I think they're a lot more welcoming.
And I suppose, aside from Pepe Reina, Dries Mertens, not many English speakers in there, so you have to get to grips with a new language.
Yeah, that was something I noticed pretty quickly because I wanted to speak English. The first few days I was quiet, didn't say anything, just observed and looked around and see if I can pick up words here and there, you know, the hello, how are you,
yeah,
and what the boys say. But, I mean, Pepe spoke English, so if I needed anything, I went to him first.
Yeah.
And then Mertens could speak a bit of English as well, and Koulibaly could speak English as well. So, I mean, around the boys, I could try and listen out for what was being said. And Mauricio Sarri spoke a bit of English as well. I think he worked in England for some time. So
he'd worked in banking.
Yeah, exactly. He was explaining it to me at one stage. So he spoke a little bit of English. But when he's out there, he wouldn't have spoken English to me on the pitch.
No.
So I had to try and pick up the language quite quickly, and that was very difficult at the start.
Did he have quite a personal relationship with the players in that you have some managers, for example, who they'll take training and then they'll keep their distance? Was he someone who would speak to you after training, have one-on-ones with you and that sort of thing, and just trying to, I don't know, develop some kind of empathy, some kind of human angle?
Yeah, he was very hands-on, to be fair. He's a great manager. I mean, tactically, he's probably up there with one of the best that I've seen and I've worked with. But in terms of his man management, I think he was pretty good with the group of boys who were playing, because in Italy, it's about 11 players on the bench. So it was very hard to
keep everyone happy.
Yeah. But he had conversations here and there with players, and if you stepped into his office, he was more than open to have a conversation with you. So so he helped me when I got there first, because I had a few conversations with him in terms of what I need to do, and he lost his patience with me a few times when he was trying to explain something and I didn't understand, and I'm just looking at him like, oh, I don't know what to do. But it was okay in the end.
What was it like having a manager who will be strolling up and down the touchline or on the training pitch with a sort of the nub of a cigarette?
Yes, it was okay. It was fine. He was a nice guy, but he was very into his work and like I said, tactically, he knew how to set the team up and how to try and stop the opposition. And it was something that we worked on every single day in training. And for me, it was new because I went into training thinking, oh, we're going to play small-sided games. It's going to be a lot of physicality and everything else. And it was just all technical. The sessions were about 40 minutes.
Yeah.
And you were done on the inside.
A very particular style that he wanted to implement.
Literally, it was, this is how I want you to play. This is how you're going to play. This is how you beat this team. This is how you beat that team. This is how you stop this team. And it just changed. And it was every week, but it was something different because the opposition that you faced had something in their pocket. So
yeah.
It was, for me, it was just, besides not playing and everything else, I was just learning every single week and just looking at how he does his work. And say the players that were playing, for example, I was cover to Hamsik.
Mm.
And he's an unbelievable player. So for me, I just kept watching him and seeing what he does that I can add to my game. Like I said, it was probably one of the biggest changes for me in my career at the time.
Were there any small details that you got either from watching Hamsik or that Sally gave you in terms of which maybe changed the way you play? You know, maybe how you open up your body, how you control the ball.
He's one of the players that's got the best awareness that I've seen on a football pitch.
Mm.
We used to say he had eyes in the back of his head because he always knew where he was. He always knew when to take two touches, when to take one, when he could play it round the corner. And for me, I went against him sometimes and he was like two steps, three steps ahead of me. When you train with this person every day, surely you have to pick stuff off him.
Mm.
And for me, it was a no-brainer really in terms of watching him and speaking to him as well, because he speaks a little bit of English.
Yeah.
So he helped me out a little bit. And just being there and watching these players, you've got Jorginho, who a lot of people won't have heard of before because he just came from Verona.
Yeah, Hellas Verona.
And I've seen him in training and he plays one touch and two touches the whole training session. And I've never seen anything like it. So at this point, I'm staring at him thinking, oh my God, what a player. And nobody knows of him.
Mm.
So now when there's like rave reviews about him, I'm like, I knew this was coming.
Well, he was in tears a couple of weeks ago after the draw against Torino, perhaps maybe because it was the end of the title dream. People might be finally waking up to him in the Premier League.
He's an unbelievable character, a great guy, always smiling, always happy. And I roomed with him a few times towards the end of my time at Napoli. He was my roommate and I had so much fun with him. When they played against England not so long ago and for Italy, I went down to the stadium and I saw him afterwards. He's a great guy.
Really. Did he have any particular habits in when you roomed with him?
Oh yeah, he was on a battlefield every night.
Oh, yeah.
And it was non-stop, literally. I had to try and get him off it when I wanted to go sleep. But I wasn't starting, so for him, that was just his pre-match ritual, just stay on battlefield until 1 o'clock or whatever it was.
And in terms of like first impressions of the manager, you've got this like 55-year-old guy who's kind of looks like he's been around the block a bit. You might think of Italian football as being defensive, you know, slow-paced. But I imagine you've got a completely different impression. All those stereotypes you hear in this country maybe about Italian football.
Yeah.
When you watch Napoli, there's an intensity, there's a quickness about how they play that I think would take a lot of people by surprise.
Yeah, and I think that's down to the manager because of, you know, the playthroughs that he goes through and the way he wants the team to play.
Mm.
He's very clear on how he wants things done. And if I played a pass and it trickled into someone, he goes crazy.
Yeah.
If someone plays a pass and it's slow, he goes, I want it quicker.
Mm.
And that shows week in, week out when they play games. It's great stuff to watch. And like I said, it's down to the manager. He do it his way. And if you do it right, you obviously reap the rewards.
Yeah. So quite an innovative manager. Napoli, quite famous. This is going back a few years now. Now I think everybody does it. But for having drones, film training, to get the defensive line.
The details, they still do that over there, I think.
And set pieces, he's known as, I think, Mr. 33, something, for having 33 different set piece routines.
That was tough. That was tough. I got there and I'd never practiced a throw-in in my life. And I got there and they had about 10 different signals. So they gave me a sheet of paper after my first day.
Mm-hmm.
Said, study these signals. I've gone, what? Sorry? They said, you have to study the signals for the throw-ins because the midfielders are involved.
Mm.
So at this point, I'm lost. And like I said again, he got really impatient of me because he expected me to pick it up quite quickly.
Yeah.
And I used to just stand behind Hamsik and follow him and see what he's doing.
Mm.
And I don't think I picked it up until about 2 months of being there, because there were so many signals, there were so many throw-ins, so many corners, and you had to be in the exact place that he wanted you to be in. It was hard work, but it was concentration for about 20 minutes maximum, which in a game you probably do a lot longer than that.
So you talked about Sadie's attention to detail. Raheem Sterling was talking about Pep a few weeks ago, and he was saying how he, you know, no longer controls the ball with the outside of his foot, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Or were there any, just something that's, I don't know, struck you as unusual about Sadie and his coaching?
For me, it was on the defensive side of things, you know, in the formation that we played, it was when to press and when you don't press.
Yeah.
And it was like there was almost a line in the middle of the pitch. It wasn't drawn on there, but it was like a marker for you to know whether you go or whether you don't.
Mm.
And when I did it, it worked out. So when I came back to England and we played in games, I used that method still, and literally it's what I still use now. And it's something that I picked up, but it's something that I also learned, you know, during the time. It was like
intuitively.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I do it now, and it's worked for me. So it's something that I take on board, that I've taken with me. But it was a time for me to actually learn about positioning and learn about, and actually study the game. In England, we get taught to control the ball and play a long pass and things like that. But there was just basics of don't take two touches here. You're in a position where you can take one. You can go and press now, or you can't go and press. And I think now the game is changing a little bit with the managers that are coming into England, into the Premier League. And when I was in Italy, that was something that I definitely picked up on.
And there's a lot of speculation about Maurizio Sarri's future, whether he might actually come over and work here in the Premier League rather than in the City of London, which I think is the last time he was working in England. What do you think he would bring to the game over here? Do you think it would be a real kind of refreshing sort of guy bringing new ideas to the Premier League?
Yeah, well, we've seen how Napoli play right now, and it's quite attractive football. He's got the ability to drive his team whichever team is at. He's got the ability to get the best out of the players and to get them playing good football on a football pitch.
Yeah.
I think everyone's seen it and everyone knows he's a great guy as well.
Mm.
And I think, he will do well if he came into the Premier League.
It seems to be quite transferable, because like the style he got Empoli playing, he got Napoli playing. And, you know, I think, you know, people will say that, it's okay doing that in one league, but it's still quite a big step up from doing it at Empoli and doing it at Napoli.
Yeah, of course, I agree. And I think it took a while for him to obviously implement his way.
Yeah.
It all worked out in the end. So I think if he came into the Premier League, you could do the same thing for another team. Playing under him was very easy, because he puts out every single detail that you need to know as a player.
Mm.
So you might want to know as a right back, what foot is this player? What does he do? Does he cut in? You could find out. The manager will tell you. Because for me, I felt like he was always at home, probably watching a game, studying a player, studying the team before the game. He just passed the information on to the players. And I think the year that I was there, we managed to grab the Champions League spot. It was a great season. And that was based on the details that we had going into every single game was just top notch.
Listeners, sadly, we need to take a quick break from James Horncastle's conversation with Nate Chalabar on all things Napoli and Maurizio Sarri, and that's because we need to talk about shaving. We need to talk about Harry's. Harry's have got everything you need for a high-quality shave at a better price. Their cucumber and aloe shave gel lathers into a luxurious foam, allowing their German-engineered blades to glide across your face. These blades sit in a non-slip handle with a texture grip for extra precision, and Harry's post-shave balm will leave you extra cool and fresher than ever. Because you listen to Galazzo, you can get a special Harry's trial set, including that aforementioned handle in your choice of blue, orange or green, a 5-blade cartridge, the foaming shave gel and a travel blade cover. You'll get all of that delivered to your door for just £3.95, and it comes in a recycled cardboard box. Wow. Find out more at harrys.com/Golazzo. That's Golazzo with one L and two Zs. harrys.com/Golazzo. harrys.com/Golazzo.
That season started not particularly well. I remember Diego Maradona, whose word carries a certain weight in Naples, yeah, saying that with Maurizio Sarri, this team will not finish in mid-table. And what happened come the winter, I think Napoli were winter champions that season. They were top of the table going to February, and then they played against Juve in Turin, lost.
Last minute, yeah.
What was it like being a part of, you know, what felt like a kind of impromptu title challenge, really?
Yeah, it was. I mean, when you look at the history of the club and how long ago it was that they won the league, you could feel the atmosphere when you get to the training ground. And as things were going well after such a bad start, you could feel the excitement within the city itself, not only in the club. It was difficult for me to leave my house without a hat and sunglasses. And I hadn't barely kicked a ball at that time. So the city is so passionate, and they live for football, and they live for Napoli. I'd never seen anything like it. I'd never, ever seen anything like it. So for me, it was like, wow, is this really what it's like? Obviously, when we lost the game against Juve, we're expecting to be tarnished by the fans, and we got to the airport, and there were about, I don't know, roughly I'd say about 3,000 people waiting for us to get out of the airport.
What's it like being on a bus when you're surrounded by people?
We got in taxis after, because we were all going home. It was like 2 in the morning. I remember sitting in my taxi, and we couldn't get out. Literally, so many people on both sides of the taxis banging on the windows. Dai ragazzi, come on, boys.
Yeah.
Come on, like, fino alla fine, all the way to the end. It's not finished yet. And I was just like, what? This is incredible. And at that time, I'm getting goosebumps just thinking, wow, like, this is potentially the change of the league, change of the Scudetto. And we just sat there, and fans are going crazy, just showing us support still, and it happened all throughout the season.
What was that like? Was that added pressure, or was it something that really kind of motivated you, encouraged you?
For me, I'd never seen anything like it. I think if I was playing, I was more motivated rather than pressure.
Yeah,
I'd say for the lads that were playing every single game, it would have been very difficult to deal with, because it's a heavy shirt to wear, Naples shirt, because they're such a passionate place and they want to win something so badly, you know, it's truly understandable.
And so going around Naples, the city centre, you know, you turn up there on your first day, nobody knows you.
Yeah.
But I can imagine what, even within just a few weeks.
It was a few hours. I remember within a few hours, I was walking down the high street after signing everything. The next day I went to grab some lunch, and people were asking me for photos. And I thought, wait, hold on. Do they know who I am? I was asking, you know, my agent. I was like, it's not even been announced yet. And he just told me, he said, you don't know what you're in for right now. And literally since then, when I got announced to the club and everything else, had all these Napolitan tweets and people following me and saying welcome and everything else. And my time there was just unbelievable. And I go back there now, and I still feel like I'm part of it. Just because of the time that I had when I was there.
Now, one of the things I think of when I think about Napoli is whenever anyone scores a goal, there's a guy on the sidelines called Despo Bellini who will have this call and response with the curva, which just sends tingles down your spine.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that happened to you once when you scored against, was it Legia Warsaw?
Yeah, yeah.
Tunnel straordinario e poi come fosse stato un calcio di rigore da quella posizione lì spiazza il portiere ma il tocco che fa il tunnel a liberarsi.
The stadium wasn't as packed, so I don't think it sent tingles down your spine, but it was pretty cool to hear my name being, you know, on the loudspeaker and the fans shouting my name. It was actually quite special, because prior to going there, I'd seen videos of the one he did with Higuain.
Higuain! 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 Higuain!
and I've never seen anything like it. So, but he's actually a nice guy when you meet him. He's a really good guy.
Yeah, he seems to be like almost part of the team, and now he seems to have a really close bond with the players.
It's just the city. It's just how Napoli is.
Yeah.
As a place, everyone's very welcoming and everyone's very involved in the club, and it's just always good to see.
You're an adopted Neapolitan when you go there.
Yeah, literally. I just need to try and speak Neapolitan now, which might take a long time. Yeah.
Well, you could have. I imagine Insigne would have helped you with that, no?
Yeah, well, bad words that can't be said on radio.
Did you learn any Neapolitan whilst you're there?
A little bit, but I don't think I'll attempt to speak it on radio right now.
Also, I imagine going around London, the Neapolitans, I mean, there's
a... I bumped into a guy the other day and he said, do say Chalobah. I said, oh my God. I said, Neapolitans are everywhere, to be fair.
Yeah.
I've even jumped into a taxi and a Neapolitan guy was driving and he was telling me about my life. And I thought, this is crazy, but that's just the type of people they are. They're so passionate. They love Napoli. They love football and they love their city. So...
it's quite hard to be a professional there. I'm just thinking in terms of like my own point of view. I love food, and if I was to go to like Napoli, there's like mozzarella di bufala.
Yeah,
and like the pizza there is reputed to be the best in the world.
It's unbelievable. I agree.
Was it difficult to sort of basically keep your head straight and eat right when you basically know there's an amazing pizzeria just down the road.
I'd say I'm lucky in that sense. Where I'd say I'm blessed with not putting on a lot of weight. So it wasn't really, really hard for me. We used to have pasta and bread and everything. Everyone just eats normally. But because it's so hot and the training sessions and everything else, you're pretty fit anyway.
Yeah.
So you really can get away with it. And I thought they were going to have us have a strict diet plan and everything else, but they... didn't really pay too much attention to that. We were playing well and winning games. So.
My experience, Naples is a very superstitious city, superstitious people, Neapolitans. I was looking at your stats. Every game you featured in, they won. So I'm very surprised they didn't sign you on a permanent basis on that basis.
Yeah, I think they wanted to towards the end. But having worked with Sarri and looking at their midfield options that they had there, it would have been very difficult for me, and especially after going through the season and not playing so many games. I really wanted to play as many games as I could, because going on loan is very difficult, especially going abroad, and it's hard, and I felt like I adapted quite quickly, but because the team was doing so well, I couldn't sneak in and get a game here and there.
Well, I think people now find that, in your position there now, that's one of the things that people have said about this Sarri team, is that he's got his 11 players.
Yeah.
They play almost every game.
Yeah.
And it's difficult for, either yourself or now I think someone like Diawara or
Zielinski
to get in.
Yeah, it's hard. And I saw what it was like, and I had to make that decision whether it's worth me signing here and going on loan again, but then I would have just done that being at Chelsea. So I had to make that decision to just go back and see where things went on from there.
You've been listening to Golazzo, the Totally Italian Football Show. It's a Muddy Knees Media production, and for sales and advertising, please email sales@muddyneesmedia.com.
That was pretty good, wasn't it? Not nearly enough Football League, though. Why don't you give the Totally Football League show a try? You'll find us on Audioboom, iTunes, all the other places you get your podcasts.